God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back into a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud and the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back into its place, and the Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. And then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord: "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he's hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he's hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone." Let me read verse 6 as well. "Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy." Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, I want to take a few weeks to look at a few songs from the Bible. Lyrics for life, you can call it. And I don't know about you, but you know, music's quite an important part, isn't it, of life, do you think? If you listen to the radio, there's things like desert island discs. I don't know if you've ever considered what you would take if you were stuck on a desert island, what you would want to be listening to. I hope it would be something that would be edifying and, of course, lifting up the Lord Jesus. But if we took a survey, we would have so many different answers to that question. I know a few years ago we did a poll of favourite hymns, and even that was an interesting exercise to see just who likes what and what means the most to different ones. What songs could you not live without? Just over a month ago I saw a film at the cinema called Yesterday. And you may have heard of this film. It basically took the idea that the Beatles' music could be taken out of this world and the impact that that would have upon people. It was about a small-time singer who discovers that everybody on the planet has forgotten about the Beatles. Only he remembers. So he's a small-time singer, so he decides to choose to, as it were, write the songs of the Beatles and perform them, and he gets famous on it. But he knows that he's a fraud. He knows he's stolen these songs. And in the end, he can't live with that fraud. But That's a bit of a spoiler alert. But in that film, it's an interesting idea. You know, if there was no Beatles music, you know, the man in the street has got so used to all those songs. They are part of the rhythm and rhyme of life for so many. You might think, oh, well, that would be quite good if there weren't any Beatles music around, but I don't know. But we soak up music, we soak up lyrics. And indeed, we're encouraged in Scripture in Ephesians 5 to speak to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We are to share the wonderful truths of a hymn book, of the Word of God, of the songs of praise, the spiritual songs on our hearts. I mean, if I just mention, "Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee," what do you say? How great thou art! How great thou art! These words are locked in, and hopefully not just locked here, but in our hearts too, in praise of our God. Well, the Bible has many songs within it, doesn't it? Of course, the Psalms are a songbook, the full hymn book there. But there are other things too. Song of Songs, the Songs of Solomon. Songs of Heaven in Revelation. Well, there's a theme in itself. And I just want to pick out just a few. And tonight I've gone to Exodus 15 and verse 2 is my text. The way that it speaks there of the Lord being, how the Lord, yes, is our song, but around it is our strength and is our salvation. And I just want to think through that with you this evening. Because that verse and those three parts to that verse are recalled and replayed on a number of other occasions. So let's think for a moment, first of all, about their place in and throughout Scripture. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Here in Exodus 15, verse 2, it's in the public domain. It's sung by Moses and the Israelites. And it's sung on one of the greatest days in Israel's history, isn't it? Coming through the Red Sea. The waters have gone back. Their enemy has drowned in the sea, and they are safe on the other side. And the song is sung of how the Lord is their strength and song and has become their salvation. A day that shaped the destiny of God's people, reflected in their Passover, ultimately, of course, reflected in our Lord's table too. It's because of the victory, the deliverance from the enemy. And so you've got the public domain. That song is sung amongst thousands, tens of thousands, more than that, to the millions as God's people come out of Egypt towards the promised land. But you also have it in Psalm 118, verse 14. And there the psalmist sings it as a solo, a personal reflection in smaller, less dramatic days. The truth of who the Lord is remained the same. Lord, you are my strength and my song and my salvation. It's a personal cry. It's a personal affirmation, a personal stance of trust in a difficult time for the psalmist. Now, the background to that is to do with the building up of the walls and the rebuilding of the temple in those uncertain days, but the psalmist could personally speak of the Lord in this way. And the third one, Isaiah 12, verse 2. In that day, a day looking forward to the great victory of the Lord in all things. And again, the Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. Three times this note rings through amongst the public, in private, in the prophetic, looking ahead, looking forward, giving fresh hope for what lies ahead. Because God is an unchanging God and his nature is totally dependable. The Lord is. The Lord is. That's how it begins. Ever before you unpack what else it says, the Lord is. The promise-keeping God is our strength, our song, our salvation. Well, let me look more closely at those three parts that I've just kept reiterating to you. Let's start with strength. I didn't do the children's talk this morning, but if I had done, I was going to talk about moving house. And I was going to talk about how, thankfully, you know, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, comes to live and dwell within us. And I moved a lot of clutter yesterday from my daughter and son-in-law's house down in Winchester. Oh, boy. And I'm just about standing up today because I know about it. They've only been married 2 years. I can't believe the clutter they have. But they moved house, and it was good because there were lots of people involved, but it was very, very tiring. So when I talk about strength tonight, I'm kind of praying it as I'm speaking it. But no, seriously. I mean, would you like to be stronger? There's all sorts of strengths, aren't there? I understand a man called Martins Lysis from USA is the world's strongest man at the moment. What an adulation, what a title to have. Well, he's fine if you want to push lorries up hills. But there are other sorts of strength, of course, as well. But again and again, the Lord, in his word, offers strength to the weak, doesn't he? To those who come to him and shelter in him. That's why we sang Psalm 46, not because we're just getting in early for November. We sang because the Lord is my strength, my shelter. He protects, he watches over as we come to him. He provides that place. To be strong in the Lord is to acknowledge our weakness and to receive his strength. You know, in the passage that we read in Exodus 15, Israel couldn't by themselves get free from Egypt. You remember how it went. They were crying out to the Lord because of what had happened. And the Lord raised up Moses. And then Moses, ultimately through the plagues and everything else, gets them out. And it's the Lord who got them out, isn't it? You know, Moses couldn't even muster the right words. He couldn't even speak. But the Lord gave him the authority, gave him the words, gave him the opportunity. It was all of the Lord. So that Israel could flee from Egypt. God stepped in. And the psalmist in Psalm 118, well, he was being pushed around and felt he was about to fall, whether that was literally off the walls or whether that was just in the spiritual realm. He felt he was being pushed around, but God stepped in to be his strength and song and salvation. And as God's people look forward to a day when the strength of the Lord would mark them out again and make a great difference in the world, in that day, the Lord says, this is the way it will be. All needed God's strength. We need God's strength, don't we? Sometimes I think, not in our church, certainly not at the moment, but in church life when things are full and everything's happening and it's buzzing, you almost feel as though the church doesn't need the Lord. One of the good things, in a sort of backhanded way, is that when we are small and struggling, and we do need the Lord, we need to cry out to him, and we can see our need. So hopefully, our pride will not be foolish. Oh, we will not be foolish in our pride. We'll cry out to him. The Lord is my strength, says the song, says the lyric. Not just the Lord is strong, that's true, but the Lord is my strength. The lyrics tell of how the Lord has given strength beyond the norm, personally, that touch upon a life. The Rugby World Cup's going on at the moment. And it's not really a very exciting stage because everybody who wins seems to win by about 60 points. So it's kind of not very close. Or seems that way. But the Samoa team, it was 4 years ago, had on their shirts, I don't know if you remember, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And quite a lot was made of it at the time. It was a bold statement of the faith of the islands of Samoa. And of course some said, well, but you're not going to win the World Cup, are you? And they didn't. But this lyric is for life, not for rugby. But the Lord did say in Philippians 4, through Paul's writings, I can do all things, all these things I can face through Christ who strengthens me. And testimony after testimony is given in the Word of God of how God gives his strength to his servants. How about this for David? David testifies to his need of the Lord. It is God who arms me with strength. In the battles, he's thinking of there. You know, in all that he went through, it is God who arms me. We need the Lord's strength for the battle, don't we? In the world in which we're living. Where can we find the strength? In God alone. He arms with strength. But lest we feel this is just, you know, battle and struggle and difficulty, and there is a lot of that in life, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In relationship with the Lord and being with him, drawing upon him. In the positives in life as well, the joy of the Lord, sharing those times with him. Yes, the Lord is there when times are tough. Again, Habakkuk 3, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go up on the heights. When we're in the mire, when we're in the lower parts, we can be lifted up. The strength of the Lord lifts when everything else around seems to be failing. The Lord is there when things are tough. And there to help us as we seek to serve others. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Because to do it in our own strength will always lead to a shortcoming, won't it? Always lead to failure. We can never see it through, nowhere near in our own strength. The strength is there if we acknowledge the need and personally depend upon the Lord. So the Lord is my strength. But secondly, the Lord is my song. Songs are often about relationships, aren't they, if you think about it? I don't know if you saw, it was on the news, Rod Stewart turned up at somebody's wedding. I don't know if I'd have liked that, to be honest, but it was in Las Vegas, one of these Thomas Cook weddings that went pear-shaped, and then they rearranged it. And Rod Stewart turns up to sing at the wedding. And he sings a song, and you know, it's all about love, it's all about relationships. And there's the happy couple, well, and Rod Stewart on the photographs. But hymns as well speak of relationship, don't they? Our relationship with God through Christ. Songs express a multitude of emotions, of course. The full range, the lament, that's in Scripture, as well as great songs of joy. Songs change with circumstance. And one of the interesting things about the Bible and the way it records songs is that so often it says, this is a new song. I don't know if you noticed that. This is a new song. Why is it a new song? Well, it's because God has intervened and brought changes in the situation for the people. And they're responding to what the Lord has done. So, for example, Psalm 40. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. I'd been in the mire and he put me on the rock. I'd been in my sin and he lifted me up in Christ. Put me in Christ and all the blessings of that. My new song. A song of praise from my heart. I hope you can say the same thing, that the Lord has lifted you, moved you from one to the other, giving you a firm place to stand by his grace. Sing to the Lord a new song, says Psalm 96. Declare the glory, his glory, among the nations, his marvelous deeds amongst all peoples. It's kind of the missionary psalm, Psalm 96. But again, it's because the world needs the gospel, and only the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can change our world. It's true, isn't it? People throw money at things thinking, oh, that's going to make the difference. But it doesn't. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. And a new song can only be found by the grace of God through what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. Sing to the Lord a new song, Psalm 149, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Yes, the saints. A holy, set-apart people. That's what we are in Christ. That's what he's made us to be. He maketh the rebel a priest and a king. New songs, new circumstances, new situations. In the happy times of life, it's easy to offer a song to the Lord, isn't it? Is anyone happy, says James, let him sing a song of praise. But what about in the difficult times, the tough times in life? Job 35 talks about how God gives songs in the night to us. We give our songs to him in the high, great moments, but in the difficult, dark times, he gives a song. A song given by God as well as offered to him. And again, in our text, it's not the Lord and songs, it's my song, it's personal, born out of relationship, born out of circumstance, born out of walking with the Lord through circumstance. There's a song given, a song on our hearts. It brings hope. So many songs are sung with that hope within them. Think of some of the war songs as they went to war, you know, singing those. Well, we have the ultimate hope, the ultimate song of hope. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God. Start there and see our hope on all that is before us eternally because of Christ and what he went through for us. My strength, my song, my salvation. There in Exodus, as Moses sang with the Israelites, and later on Miriam sings a chorus as well. Wow. They crossed the Red Sea. They'd seen this miracle before them, and now on the other side, with the waters over the Egyptians, they were safe. They were rescued. The enemy could not reach them, and so they could press on. Now, of course, the story unfolds. They go on moaning, complaining, even as they get into the promised land. But at that moment, as they stopped in awe and wonder of what God had done, there's just that note of almost like perfect praise. He has become my salvation. It was the same for the psalmist in Psalm 118. How the walls were built and the temple rebuilt and God's people re-established. And ultimately, from Isaiah 12, in that day, well, it's looking forward, the fulfillment of which is in Christ. Salvation was promised and salvation has been revealed in our Saviour. And I hate to say this to you, but less than 3 months away from now, we'll be at Christmas. And we'll be reading verses like this. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God is in the salvation business. And even his son's name testifies to that. Salvation revealed. He is, he has become my salvation. Through experience again. The song is sung. Through experience, these words are echoed through the ages. My salvation. And again, I trust we can sing that with all our hearts this evening. Where would we be without him? That is the question to ask, isn't it? If the Lord had not done what he'd done for us at Calvary, where would we be? Lost eternally is the answer to the question. But finally, note this with me. Not just the parts of the verse and the places that this verse appears in Scripture, but their position, the way they fit together. Strength, song, salvation. See it that way. It's important. It starts with strength. Strength for today. That's what we need, isn't it? Strength for today. It would be nice, you know, just all to be taken up to glory and be done with it all and have the salvation. That's coming, that final day. But strength today. As I say, so often it takes a situation beyond ourselves and strength, our strength, for us to seek the Lord. We need his grace constantly. How gracious God is to offer that help to us. A grace that is sufficient, a grace that abounds, a grace that is unmerited favour. That's the definition of it. That's what it's all about. For all who acknowledge their need of him. Grace, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Strength, though, for today. Start where you are. Not where you want to be. Start where you are. Salvation, the ultimate rescue and relief from the enemy and sin and all that is coming. But we need strength and grace today. But also in the middle, a song at the heart. A song in the heart. To go on and to go through what we're facing. You know, the heart needs a song when weary. That's true, isn't it? And the heart has a song when blessed. And usually we're one or the other. Strength is renewed as we praise the Lord. We've seen that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hope is renewed too as we praise the Lord and sing his praise. The strength and the song take us through to the salvation. I think about Paul and Silas. You know the story well, in the Philippian jail. And I think about their salvation, how God rescued them. And I think, first of all, you know, they were believers. They were saved. They were rescued from their sins, even though they were in a prison. And they then saw God at work in a mighty miracle, shaking the place down to the ground so that they could be set free. But ultimately, their salvation was seen in their home call, wasn't it? When the Lord called them home, that was their ultimate salvation. So there were three steps along the way. They were saved, they were being saved, and they are saved. Oh, shit, I've got that the wrong way around, didn't I? Saved, being saved, shall be saved. They were working their way through in the purposes and plans of God. He is my salvation. He has become my salvation. That's not a contradiction. That's just the fullness of the expression of knowing it personally, knowing it in the circumstance, knowing it in what we go through. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. These lyrics provide us with a reminder, as I say, of who the Lord is, the promise-keeping God, who provides strength, so there's outward impact, so that we can serve him better. He provides a song, so there's internal impact. Sorry, John. Internal impact, so we hope in what we do. And he provides salvation. There is eternal impact that we can enjoy that salvation now, of course, but what will it be like to be sin-free? What will it be like away from this world and all its schemes and the enemy's works? Can you sing this song? Are these the lyrics of your life, for your life? Is the Lord your strength? If he is, you can go on. You can face what's ahead. You can overcome what's ahead in the strength he gives. Is the Lord your song? Well, you can know his heart towards you. And you can respond with your heart to him. It says in Ephesians 5, make music to the Lord in your heart. Is the Lord your salvation? But then you can rest in the security, the peace that he gives. The enemy's hold is broken. The Egyptians couldn't get beyond the Red Sea. They'd gone. However the enemy may attack, you can know the victory. You see, it's not there in Exodus 15. It's not that the people didn't fear the Egyptians coming after them. I'm sure they were petrified at the chariots that were coming out behind them. And it's not, I'm sure, that the psalmist wasn't somewhat concerned about what was going on in his world when he asked the Lord or confessed the Lord to be his strength and song and salvation. And when we look at the future or what we're in and what's up ahead, fears can arise, enemies, as it were. But because we can say together, the Lord is my strength and my song, he's become my salvation. What do I fear? What shall I fear? Nothing in knowing the Lord this way. Take this to heart. Hear the lyrics of this. It was a song sang by Moses, picked up by others along the way. May you use it too. And know the Lord in this way. The Lord being your strength, your song, and your salvation. Let's take a moment to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we don't know the tune, but we've got the lyric. And Lord, we thank you that it's all about you and what you want to be to us and what you want us to be in your name in this world. So Lord, seal that word in our hearts. Cause us to reflect. Bring a song to our hearts in the midst of all that goes on. Be our strength and indeed our salvation. Deliver us, set us free, and bring us to that eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we're part of your creation in declaring your praise, but thank you that through your Son you have personally brought this truth to our hearts and lives, and in him we rejoice. We bless you that we can indeed rejoice and be glad, even in difficult, hard circumstances and situations. So Lord, hear us, we pray. Strengthen us for this coming week with your grace. Lord, it's a battle, but arm us for the battle. Lord, and help us in our relationship with you. Lord, to keep that song of praise from our hearts, Lord, and keep us mindful of our salvation. We've always got much to rejoice in as we look back to Calvary and then as we look forward to your coming. Oh, Lord, we just long for that and rejoice in that. So hear us, Lord. Meet the needs of your people as we cry to you. As I say, we need you, Lord, in everything. Help us, Lord, we pray, in these difficult times. And Lord, again, seal that word to our hearts and cause us, Lord, to reflect just upon these little simple truths, but with great profundity, Lord, may they impact our lives and the way we live for you. Bless and keep us, make your face shine upon us, and grant us now and always to know your peace. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may he be ever blessed. May the glory, praise, and honor be his. Amen.